Some of y'all glad to be here today? I'm just glad to be here today. Amen. I want to pray, and we're really going to, you know, God's got a message, and He's been moving all day. And how many of y'all feel like there's something in this house today? Anybody up to that now? Here's why. There is. God has showed up in His Spirit. And here's what He wants to happen. Some of you have come today because you're wondering, if I was to allow Jesus Christ to be Jesus in my life, what in the world would that do? Some of you today are going to come for the first time and you're going to receive Christ. That's awesome. We're glad that you're here. That's going to happen to you. That's great. Now, there's some other people in here. They've been following Jesus Christ. And that's awesome, too. But now we're really going to have to decide, though. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Anybody been kind of anxious here in the last 6 months? Anybody's anxiety kind of increasing? Huh? All right, watch this. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Stop it. Just stop it. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a follower of Christ. Now I want you to think about something. This is the way the world works. We're in a political season, so everything's got to fall apart, and whatever party's in establishment, the other party's done a rotten job. How long has this gone on? Since America has existed as a country. It's what politicians do. Banks go up and banks go down. We don't have many people in this particular service, but if you were at the 8 o'clock service, there are some people that are in existence there, and they were born before 1929, and they were actually raised in a depression. Some of them now are millionaires. They were raised in a depression. Watch this. They were raised at a time where there was no social reform. There was no welfare. There was nothing but this. You got it together and you worked hard with one another and you had a deep faith and you stayed at it till something happened. Now here's what I'm going to tell you. You got a God that's going to stay with you because He's already made something happen. And I want to just pray that we get this today. And I know a lot of you guys are grooving, you're younger, and you're loving. And guess what? I'm just saying there's a lot of anxiety in society I hear today. Everybody's anxious. Everybody was just totally frustrated last week because all of a sudden they realize this. Banks aren't secure. Y'all weren't surprised about that attending Hillview, were you? Nope. I've been telling you all that for 18 years. For 18 years, I've been telling you this over and over every Sunday, that there is nothing that we can create that lasts. How many of y'all are beginning to believe it now? There's nothing. Nothing. And so, I don't know about you, but it's a whole lot easier to talk about that in theory than it is to live the reality of tough times. And so I'm going to invite you to a letter of truth that was exposed in tough times. First Peter. Rome is in charge. Rome is shaky. And so when things get shaky, who do you blame? The Christians. How many of y'all find if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to take a little heat? If you're not taking any heat, let me let you in on a big secret. It's because you're not following Jesus Christ. If all you do is attend church for an hour and kind of hang out, listen to some God stuff, and then never live out the principles, you will not have a lot of heat in this life, but you'll have a lot of hell in the next. So you know what? Here's my deal, Kevin. I'm going to trade heat for hell. I would rather live in the heat of people that oppose me now than the hell of a forever hell. Because here's the thing. If you're going to live all anxiety-ridden, which is very popular in our culture, true? You work in this, girl. Every day, right? Amber, every day you work in that way. You know, you feel the counseling. Number one selling pharmaceuticals are? Antidepressants. Why?
Because that's the cure for depression, they say.
Thank you, ma'am. I like that. They say it's the cure. Watch this. Do I oppose antidepressants? No. Sometimes we need those chemically. But I'm just showing you, we're in a culture. We're in a culture that is obsessed with being anxious. I even watch people and I go, tell me the good news. And they go, I ain't got none. Y'all ever heard that? Watch this. And people love telling bad news. They'll go, oh, let me share my problems. And that in itself, I think, has become a drug. We just love to talk about how bad it is. I had a pretty good week last night. It was a good night last night. But watch this. I had a pretty good week last week. I don't know about you, but I ate food all week long. I had meals all week long. I live in a country where I had meals all week long. You can have three or four of them and even snacks in America. But you know, that doesn't go, you know, unfortunately, man, and my heart breaks here. A lot of my brothers and sisters in Africa, they didn't get that. A lot of my brothers and sisters in other parts of this globe, they didn't get that. They didn't worry about gas prices going up because they don't even know what a car is. I want you all to know that it's about living life, and all of us got some stuff we're going to go through. Are we getting this? Talk to me, because I'm going to talk to you real wide open today, okay? This is a salty sermon. It's a salty sermon because we got to all of a sudden begin to really embrace this principle. Is Jesus Christ for real? Now, how you answer that will determine your walk. Because if Jesus Christ is for real, then we got to hook up with Jesus Christ's principles. And guess what we got to do? We got to start living them out. Hillview, I'm not worried. I believe Jesus to be real. I really believe this. If everything in my life that I have is gone, Jesus doesn't leave. Now, I'm a little bit older than some of you, so I've realized this. Everything I've acquired can be gone in an instant. My wife, I love Elizabeth. She's sitting right here, but you know what? In an instant, we can be separated. Death could separate us. I mean, we've made a covenant that we're going to stay together, so we're going to fight it out till he comes back. Until death do us part, Elizabeth and I take that serious. And at times, we've tried to introduce each other to that, okay? Because she said, to death do us part, and I will kill you, okay? So, yeah, you know, it works. But watch. It's about living this incredible life in Christ. And here's what I want you to know today. It's just a fact. There will be tough times. How many of y'all have lived long enough to know there will be tough times? Amen. So would you please answer this question? Why do all of us who profess all of this following of Jesus, why do we fall apart when tough times come? Been lied to. The majority of what I call commercial Christianity. I call it commercial Christianity. That's my new term for it, Cheryl. Commercial Christianity. You'll find a lot of it on TV. I've heard preachers on TV say, if you follow Jesus Christ, your life will go smoother. Right there, they just told me they've never read the Bible. I've heard some of them say, if you drop them $100, a faith seed. If any of y'all have ever done that, you ought to gotten took. That's a carnival. That's not a Christ. Where'd you ever hear Jesus Christ say, drop a seed of money? Give me one place in the biblical text where Jesus Christ said, put this in my hand and I'll give you that much more. When did Jesus ever say something like that? Hello. You know why? Jesus wasn't here. Catch this. Everybody listening? Everybody listening? What about the balcony? Y'all listening right now? I want y'all to catch this. Jesus did not come to sell us. He came to save us. Amen. That's a big difference. And I want you to know that God loves each and every one of you all in a very deep way. And I hope today you'll come to this understanding. God cares about what's going on. And we're going to get through it. Is that cool? Now here's what I love about Hillview. We're going to get through it here at Hillview. You know why? We've been broke before. Eric, guess what social program helped Hillview? one. Sippo. Hillview was broke. Hey, Ben, guess where our denomination was? Nowhere to be found. We were broke. $500,000 and 30 people. March 10th, 1991. No millionaires in the 30. And guess what God said? I'm going to do a work. I said, I know, God, but we're broke. God said, I'm going to do something with a church that's unimaginable. Hey, God, we are broke. God, we got a leak in that old building. God, we don't have a sound system. We can't look like Willow Creek. We don't have a cool-looking preacher. We don't have any little fake prescription glasses so we can be pseudo-intelligent. God, we are broke. Guess what God said? I died on a cross. And 3 days later, I have risen from the grave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you came in here broke today, I want you to hear a really true message. You sitting in a church that went from broke to blessed. And isn't that the rhythm of the gospel? From broke to blessed. In fact, this may not give you all a lot of comfort, but I've had a lot of people ask me in the community, they said, you kind of nervous that building going up in times like these? I said, nah, we've been broke before. I said, our faith is not in banks. Our faith is not in the U.S. government. Our faith is not in the structures. Our faith is not in the securities of this world. But our faith is this belief. I believe and you believe and we believe together in a confessional faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How many of you all believe that? That's what. He's not an idea. Hold on. You better hear me. Christianity is not a philosophical religion. It's a personal experience. Now, there's a lot of people who say, I'm a Christian. My response? Hear me how I say this. There will be a lot of people that held to philosophical Christianity that missed the Christ. You say, how you know? Here's another thing. Now, I'm going to seem very primitive to the world. This is a primitive belief to the world. I actually believe the Bible's true, which changes my understanding of God from 59% of my colleagues that only believe parts of the Bible are true. Here's why they don't believe it's true, because they say, well, I can't get my mind to make it consistent. Now watch, you see, I just made you make a confession. I didn't make you. I had you confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God, crucified and resurrected. And here's what I know. God is greater than my understanding. Y'all want to start living a great life? Then step into this first confession. God knows more than I do. And that brings us to 1 Peter 5. How many of y'all glad to know today you're worshiping a God that knows more than you do? Can I give you, He knows more than you do? Now let me give you another step. How many of y'all glad to know that God got there before you arrived? Watch this. God was born before you were born, and God was there when you were born. What do you think? And here's what happens. Because God is that great, you and I can begin to engage in God's lifestyle. Because here's what He says first. God opposes the proud. I want you to know that God always opposes the proud. I want you to know that some of the things you are hearing on the news today from the spiritual component result from one issue, the pride and arrogance of American people. As I look at you in educational sectors, I want to give you a warning of caution. As you educate yourself and as people put letters to your name, never have faith in those letters. Now, you can't argue with me because I got them. So I can speak as Paul. I consider them all rubbish for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's from an East Coast university. Not one in Kentucky. Here's what I found in America. We are so smart, we're stupid. I think there's a pendulum in education that you can go so far, it's a secular motion that you get so smart that all of a sudden you smarten yourself into ignorance. Study on that. Here's where you become very ignorant. And ignorant means without knowledge. God opposes the proud. Now here's what I want us to know. We'll never have it figured out better than God can get it going on. So Larry Mustard, guess what happens here? If I put myself in opposition to God, guess what? I'm already in trouble before I even start thinking. Do you hear what the scripture said? God opposes the what? And here's what proud is. I can do it better than God can do it in me. How many of y'all believe that? Good. That's honest. Some of y'all do believe that. How many of y'all believe that you can do it better than God can do it in you? Yeah. How many of y'all have even acted like that before? I have. How many of y'all, God said repent, and you said, I'm not going to pray, and I'm going to work it out on my own. See, here's where this area. How many of y'all going to get it on your own? How many of y'all were going to fix your marriage on your own? Now there, men, any of you men that have that thought, come up to the altar and ask God to give you some sense. Because here's your arrogant position. Chase, you've gone and made investment. Right? Put the big rock on her finger. Do you understand your fiance? You think so? There's a married man behind you that's been at it for longer than you've been alive, and he's shaking his head like this. Now, that's great. I thought I understood my fiance. And in fact, I would have confessed at age 19, I know all about Elizabeth. At age 19. Because what happens when you're 19? You know everything. And when you're 19, it's you and God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and you have conquered the world. By age 40, you ought to know God opposes the proud. What He said goes no matter what anybody else says. How many of y'all are even old enough to know that some of the things, now listen, I'm not going to get you to full confession, you're not old enough to do that yet, but how many of you all have found so far, Josh, has your father, remember I know your father and mother well, remember I've known you since you were in diapers, have you found that a couple of things your parents told you are true? Two is all we're going for, okay? How did you find that out?
Did it the other way.
Thank you. That's a very politically correct way for saying, I went and disobeyed my parents. When you disobeyed your parents, what happened? Well, yes, you do get in trouble, but what? Why? Watch, here's what I want to begin to teach you all. You don't go sin and God gets you. That's a misconcept. It's not like, oh, I've committed something really bad and God has to go, oh, no, they've done something really bad. I need to give them a spanking. That's not what happens. The sin in itself kills. God opposes the what? And He gives grace to the what? Humble. So let me explain this. Ready? All of us today, if we're going to move with God, we got to come up with this first understanding. God is in charge and He wants to be with me. And humility is the first step. I'm not in charge. God is. Watch as I'll show you right now. In all the intellectual sophisticates, this is called the Enlightenment philosophers. The Enlightenment philosophers, some of you have studied this in school. Watch this. This is the era I came out of. We were going to educate ourselves and be sophisticated enough to rid ourselves of poverty and war. That was at the beginning of the 20th century. The Marta of hope in the 20th century. How'd we do? World War I, World War II, we had a Korean conflict that was a war, and then we had this Vietnam situation that was a war, and then we went to Desert Storm, and now, lo and behold, even in the 21st century, with all of our postmodern embracing of community and culture and the love for one another and the inner expressive human being, we're still at war. You know what? God opposes the proud. Don't you hate it when the Bible speaks right into culture? You know why? We're paying $5, $4, whatever we're paying, too much at the gas pump. Pride and greed. Pride and greed. So don't gripe too much, because there wasn't nobody griping when you could buy oil for $19 a barrel. Instead of looking ahead of what might happen 20 years from now and affect another group of human beings. Oh no, we're just seeing how much we can make in the what? The moment. What's that called?
Greed.
What's greed created by? Pride. So let me walk this down real quick. Y'all getting this today? I love talking to y'all. Y'all are the next generation. Let me ask you a question. Are y'all going to be as prideful and arrogant as my generation's been? It scares me. You may have a booster of pride and arrogance because we raised you. We've been prideful and arrogant. Watch this. I'll tell you something about the United States of America. We're probably the most arrogant group of people that have gathered together on one piece of land that has ever existed. We even give Rome a race for their money. And they believed that their leaders were... Huh. Looks like that's coming around again. Here's what I'm telling you. If you're going to claim the name of Jesus Christ, there are no other gods. There are no other gods. You know what got the early followers of Jesus Christ in trouble? One God. A way of life. A humble way of life. But I do want you to consider this. Why is it that everybody wants to get rid of Jesus? You notice that Jesus was born, government of Egypt, they want to kill him at age 2. Jesus becomes a young man, a man of influence, an itinerant rabbi, teacher. This movement begins to start of hope and life. People begin to get better, especially poor ones, and they kill him. But 3 days later, he came back. And nobody can get rid of him since. The Roman Empire's tried to push him out. Hitler tried to get rid of him. Everybody tries to get rid of Jesus. How come nobody tries to get rid of all these other religious systems? You ever thought about it? I want you to think a little bit today. Why don't people say, oh, New Age, get it out of here? You know why they don't oppose it? Because it doesn't oppose. You see, Jesus turns everything about you and I upside down. Jesus says that we can be loving and hopeful and humble and eternal. And by ourselves, all we can see is what's in front of us. And we will live in our anxiety and our immediate desires, and we will miss an eternity of life. Does that make sense? So God says this to the followers. He says, hang on, hold on, I'm in charge, I am Jesus, and I have not left. And nobody can kill me. How are you glad nobody can kill Jesus? Look what he says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. How many of you know if you're going to follow Jesus, you will be lifted up somewhere down the road? Some of you say, well, I don't feel good right now. You'll be lifted up sometime down the road. Students that are living it outright, guess what I'm telling you? You students, listen, I'm going to show you how this principle works. Some of you are not having sex with one another. And I know that's not cool, not popular, you know, and you may get with some friends going, oh no, I can't believe that you wouldn't because, you know, I mean, everybody's doing it. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people going to hell too.
Amen.
But I don't want to go. There's a lot of everybody's doing it that doesn't make it profitable. There's a lot of people losing money too, but not everybody.
Amen.
What's this? In due time. So you decide to make a stance, guess what you'll have? A successful marriage. See, some people think, well, nobody knows we've done this. It's what you've done that's killing you. It's not that somebody found out. It's that you breached God's principle. Now, when you do that, you need to repent. Yeah? You need to get back in line with God. Look what he says. Let me ask you a question. If you know you've been loved by God and you know God's forgiven you, isn't it easier to hang around God?
Amen.
Some of y'all need to get saved so church would quit being so painful. Y'all just sit in here Sunday after Sunday going, well, I'll tell you what, that's probably right, but he ain't getting me. He ain't getting me. God ain't getting me. If he wants you, you got him. Here's the good news. God wants you. How many of y'all glad to know that? That God wants your life in heaven. And I started this with this so you might understand. God's not here to sell you. He's here to save you. It's the only thing I know that hadn't had to sell me. Everything else sells me. How many of y'all have that experience? It sells you. You know, Mr. Wickman, you've had a couple decades up on the earth, haven't you? You've grown up in Americana, the American dream. Hadn't it been trying to sell you constantly? Yeah, constantly. I mean, we just all thought if we got an RV, drove around, went to some good Sam's clubs, and then died, everything had been perfect. True, Jerry? You come close to my era, we were all high business. If I just had some money, life was going to be wonderful. If I just got a hot tub at my house, then I would be complete. If I just had a yuppie car, whichever one was in vogue at the moment. I mean, you know, Tishner, you came through this journey from hippie to yuppie. And what are we still looking for? And here's the conclusion of that journey. I'm not God. And it doesn't matter what I seek and find. Now check it out. This is totally different thinking. It matters that God's finding me. And that I surrender. Isn't that wild? I just said, God, you're in charge and you're loving and I believe in you and I have faith in you and I'm going to move through. Now how do you make that practical? That shapes the way I function. Yeah? Here, let me tell you. This will change your week. How many of you all thanked God for things this week?
Amen.
Now, be honest. How many of y'all didn't? You didn't give a consideration to thanks whatsoever. How many of y'all thank God that you had food? How many of y'all thank God that when it hit 90 degrees, we live in a country that has air conditioning?
Amen.
That's a blessing, amen?
Amen.
How many of y'all thank God? Hey, students, instead of griping about going to school, how many of y'all thank God you get to go to school? You get to go to school. Did you realize that most people your age, this would kill you all. Check this out. At your age, if you flunk out, you're working. They ain't sending you to the ABC room or the touch and feel room or let us help you get your life back together room. They stick in a broom in your hand at 13 and guess what you get to sing? Welcome to my world. I bet a lot of y'all would straighten up if that was the consequence. I bet you wouldn't be sitting in the classroom texting if you had to make a certain grade to get to the next grade. Uh-oh. See, because I won't tell you the truth because the things I'm teaching you are biblical principles. And you better hear Jesus. Because Jesus had a way, and if you decided to not be in that way, there's a consequence. And I have to say that over and over and over and over. And guess what? Over. Because guess what we don't believe in anymore? Consequences. Grace is not a way out. Grace is not a way out of my trouble. It's a way into His love. And when I get in Jesus' love, it reforms my life. Because now look what He says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for who? You. Tell your neighbor Jesus cares for him. Come on, tell your neighbor that. Come on, He cares for you. And then He says this in verse 8, be careful. Because Jesus loves you and cares for you. Listen, has Jesus got our back even though gas could go to $8? What are we going to do when gas goes to $8? Some of y'all going to walk. That's good. We don't have to go to the gym in the morning. Because let me tell you, I won't have to go to the gym in the morning because it's a long walk from Alverton to Hillview Heights Church. Good news, Scottsville Road won't be crowded. There's always some good news. Make sense? Watch this. What if we did this? What if we ride together? No, hold on. We got to start thinking real here, guys. How many of us, even when we come to church, it's one person in one car and we pass by, and I know some of you got 20 kids, you're full, but I'm talking about one person, one car, and you got room for three other brothers and sisters or four other brothers and sisters in that car on the way to church. Oh, gee! That might create real community. Amen. That might make us really believers and not observers. We will get through it if we allow God to put us together. Amen? Amen. Watch this. I'll tell you right now. You know why there's not a lot of great things going on in the Church of America? Y'all do the math. 2% of the evangelical population tithes. That means 80% of God's resources are not available in the United States of America. If the church had been obedient to God's principles, George Bush would have never had to launch a faith-based initiative. And there would never be an argument because the church would be obedient to God and not have to trust its government to do God's work. Now, this is just my observation. I haven't found the government to run anything efficiently yet. Not one thing. Other than the military, somewhat. But I guarantee you right now, how many of y'all would approve of me as your pastor paying $500 for a hammer for the church? Y'all be okay with that?
No.
Welcome to your government. It's real stuff. Documented. Go look it up. Not on the internet. Go to a library where there's real footnotes. Look it up. And say how they get away with it. Because we're so concerned about us, we don't even think about ours. You know why? What would y'all do if Dr. Mark Hale ordered a case of hammers, $500 a piece, and ordered 500 of them to the glory of God? Let me tell you what would happen to us in the real world. We get fired for those kind of business decisions. But you know what? I'm not worried about the government. I'm worried about those of us who say we follow Jesus Christ. I wonder how many hungry people would be fed if 80% of God's resources were released. I wonder how much of the homeless problem would have been taken care of if 80% of it had been released. I wonder what the view of Christianity in America would be, or especially the view of Jesus would be, if His church was obedient to His principles. But right now, as a group of people who say we believe the Bible, quote, quote, evangelical Christians in America say, God, you're worth 2% of what we have going on. ~98% believe we can handle that on our own. We got a better way. What do you guys think? You're followers of Jesus. Now watch. Here's where you loosen up. Become obedient to God's principles. I want to give you a principle. How many of y'all realize that once you get saved, God's going to take you to heaven? I believe this. Eric, one time I was doing this illustration. I was teaching water skiing and Bible study at the same time in one of our youth camps. And one of our great young people asked me, they said, Pastor Steve, I understand your illustration. We had the boat out here, so I talked about the boat being the power of God. This boat had 365 horsepower. Then I talked about you got to grab a hold of the rope. When you grab a hold of the rope, that boat's going to take you to the other side, and that's heaven. Well, one of the kids asked me, he said, well, what if I let go of the rope in the middle of the ride? What happens to me again? I said, you do not understand salvation. Salvation is you invited God to do a work in your life. God duct tapes your hands to the handle with absolute 200-mile-an-hour duct tape. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask somebody a question. If I duct tape your hands to the handle and you have 365 horsepower attached to you and our mission is to get to the other side, what is going to happen? You are going to get to the other side. That's not in question. What you look like when you get to the other side is your question. See, a lot of you know Jesus Christ. You've invited him into your life, but you oppose everything he tells you to do. So you just get beaten up by everything in life. God tells you to tithe 10%. You say, I'm going to give you 2, Lord. Because here's what we're saying. I can do a better job with what you've given me than you can. That's what we're actually saying. Now, we just don't like to say it that way because we might really find out we're all arrogant. God, I'm not going to turn my marriage over to you. Lord, have mercy. I've been listening to the best marriage counselor in the world. Oprah. Who's never been married. I find it's easier to raise kids and it's easier to talk about marriage if you've never had a kid or never been married. How many of y'all found that? Yeah. That's about like listening to somebody talk about farming that's never farmed. In fact, there was a group of professors one time. They were all ag professors. They created a farm. A year later, they were broke. Guess what they realized? There's a difference in writing a paper on farming and actually operating a tractor. Actually putting seed in the ground. Actually having to gather a harvest. And guess what they were amazed at? Labor costs. You don't have those in the university. It's called free market in the real world. They were shocked. And guess what else they had realized? When you work and take the risk, if you don't make it, you go bankrupt. No tenure in farming. New world. To get beyond the concept of following Jesus and to step into the shoes of following Jesus. Guess what? When you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, he says, I'm there. And he hooks you up to the power of heaven. Now, guess what you got to learn to do? If you go on water ski, in case y'all go skiing, this is a free tip today. And you grab hold of that rope, guess what you got to do? Bend your knees. Because guess what the water's going to be? It's going to be rough. Now, some of you are going to go, I'm doing it my way. Guess what you're going to do? Bam! But hold on. You duct tape to the handle. So that means you're going to ride for a few miles on your face. So when you get to heaven, you'll be there. But you'll be one ugly looking sucker by the time you arrive. Because you're going to hit catfish under the water. Rocks are going to hit. Because you did what? God said, bend your knees. You said, just like little two-year-old. Now! God said, pray about this. Well, I'm taking care of myself, God. God's going, okay, take care of yourself. And then some of you say, well, I'm just going to hanker down. Then you're sliding on your rear all the time. How many of y'all have lived a while on your rear? Off the seat of your pants all the time. God says, you don't provide. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, let me give you some provisions. Be careful. And church, hear me. It's the new era for all of us. We haven't had real hard times in America in a while. We've had hard times in America before, just not in our gig. We got a few hard times coming. And I'm already hearing some of you whining, and I've been a little disappointed, just to tell you the truth. How can you confess, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and whine out at the first point of discomfort? Come on, we gotta step up this. And the reason I'm being a little tougher today, a little softer today, is because guess what? It's going to get tougher. Now, some of y'all are going to spend all your time on figuring out how to not make it tough. Because here's what you really believe. You believe that you've been created to be comfortable. I'll tell you who told you that. If I was the devil, I'd create a whole generation. And here's what I'd tell them. First of all, I'd tell them life's about happiness. Then secondly, I would tell them that the way they feel is really the way things are. And then the third thing I would tell them is if they have a lot of stuff, they've really had a successful life. Because in those three things, you'll absolutely miss the total gospel. Because all three of those things will make you what? Prideful. And you'll oppose God. And God will oppose you. So cast everything to God. Guess what God says? I got two Bibles up here. I'm going to read from Dual Exhaust today on this. Okay, you ready? It's how important it is. Elizabeth, you want your Bible back? Thought you had this memorized, especially this scripture. You ready? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. How many of y'all know you got a bunch of lions loose in this culture? Roar. Now, note this. The devil doesn't plan to get you. He has to roam to find you. See the difference? The devil's loose. God's purposeful. I don't believe the devil's really got much of a strategy. I just believe he looks for you, and if you're not paying attention, he can get a hold of you. Now, if you're paying attention, what can he not do? But if you're all into yourself, what can a lion or the devil do? Watch this. Here's how people get conned. You're so into you, your ego will get past your logic. Have you all seen any decisions recently that might have been driven by personal ego and not rational logic? When you're a leader, this is really dangerous. Because when you're a leader, it can't be about you. It's got to be about the people you lead. That's the way Jesus did it. He said, be careful and stand firm. Look what he said. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. I'm about to close. Don't panic when you suffer. Why? I know y'all have never had to suffer, but let me help you what? You will. It's a fact. And I don't want to give you some bogus Christianity that says if you follow Jesus Christ, your life's going to be perfect, you're going to be wonderful, you're never going to have any moments, you're never going to be depressed, you're never going to have any scars, you're never going to have any difficulties. Because I have another word for that I will not use in this context. It is not true. It's unreal. What is the reality is this, is life is tough and Jesus is more blessed than our tough moments. If you don't believe suffering is a part of the reality of following the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you do with Jesus? When Jesus came here, he suffered. He wept. He hurt. He ached. And anybody, don't listen to those TV preachers that tell you if you follow Jesus Christ, twinkle a smile and say a Bible verse, you're going to have a happy day all along. I'll call them out. They are roaring. Because that's what a lion would tell you. A Christ would tell you. Even though it is difficult for a moment, hang on. I'm always back on the third day. Hang on. I'm always back, no matter what. Why? Secret of Jesus, and I hope you will release this in your life. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, what does he say you will do? Does that make God? Watch, people have a real problem with this text. Well, you mean God knows we're going to suffer and he lets us? You want the answer to that? Yes! God's not a yuppie from America. God's not you. God doesn't think like you. God doesn't see things short-sighted. God sees things eternal-sighted. God's not human. God's not scared to die. God doesn't see today. He sees all of time. Here's the good news. And he says, oh, come, blessed child of mine. Let me put you into my way of life. So that when you suffer a little while, guess what? A little while. He will what? Will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And I pray this is our way of life. To God be the glory, man. To God be the glory. Amen? When it's all said and done. This was my dream. I told 8 o'clock service. I said, this is my dream. You know, eventually we all got to get off the planet. How many of y'all realize that? I mean, eventually we're going to get off the planet. I'm going to get real down to it here. Been doing some funerals here at Hillview lately this summer. You know what I'm starting to notice? The people that I do funerals for look a whole lot like me. They're like my age. So guess what I know? We're not here forever. Here's what I believe. Jesus is. And that changes everything. That changes everything. Amen? So in the meanwhile, let's live. I hope one day the funeral home will get tired of hearing this. But for every one of your lives, no matter what great things you do, I hope they can say this at the end of your message of life. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Chuck, when you're all done, if I'm still here, I want to be able to say, Chuck Lane, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. How many of y'all want to live a life where Jesus Christ would be recognized? That's where it changes everything. Amen? Did anybody get anything out of this today? I'm wore out, so I hope somebody heard something. Do you hear this? We're in this together. The world needs a church right now. They really need a real church. We don't need hokey church. We don't need the dancing bear church. We actually need Jesus' church for a little while. We don't need the Hope I Feel Better church on Sunday morning. We need the I'm going to live a life church every day in Jesus Christ as we grow together. Amen. Now listen, we all know. How many of y'all made some mistakes this week? Anybody besides the pastor? How many of y'all going to try to do better next week? How many of y'all know you got the power to do better next week in Jesus Christ? There, now we're talking. Now we're talking. All right. I want to give an invitation. Young people, older people, middle-aged people, want to be married people, want to get divorced people. Y'all going to stay married in the name of Jesus. Amen? Listen, I want your marriages to stay together. Why? I love your kids, and it glorifies God. Is that right, Mr. King? Rabbi King? Teacher King? Yeah, it glorifies God. Some of you say, oh, I can't stay together. Oh, that's... I don't buy any of y'all. If Elizabeth and I can stay together, anybody can. Amen. We give you one testimony. It is possible. Amen. Elizabeth tells all you women, you can live with a nut and stay married to him. Only by the grace of who? God. I mean, I've had Elizabeth pray me down. She just look at me and go, in the name of Jesus, one day you're going to get better and I'm going to wait it out with him. See, now what, hold on. What happens when that happens is she puts the power on me. Ron Carter, you getting this? You wait him out when you said, Chase Goff, I cannot believe, I'm going to put the power of Jesus on you, boy. Chase, you're done when you get a woman under the Holy Spirit. It's over. Just do it. Because you have two entities you can't argue with, God and a woman. I'm giving you wisdom right there, free today. In all seriousness, how many of y'all learned something today? How many of y'all, listen guys, we in this together, let's not be so anxious, okay? Here's a great witness. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but let me give you some good news. Neither does Fox News, neither does CNN, neither does the government, neither does the world. Okay? Yeah. We don't have a divine entity living among us except one, Jesus. And He loves every one of us, and He would love for all of us to celebrate Him in our daily lives. And we'll do this thing together. Amen. Hillview, can we say this? No matter what happens, we're going to stay together in Jesus Christ, and we're going to figure out a way to get through it. Okay? So, if you're in a difficult marriage today, in the name of Jesus, hang in there. Say, Pastor Steve, it's uncomfortable. I didn't say it wasn't uncomfortable. Hang in there. How many of y'all are raising children? That's uncomfortable. I don't know about y'all, but my kids have done some things I asked them not to do. Didn't y'all have that problem, or did y'all master that? And you know where they got that? Because I did some things my parents asked me not to do, and I went and did them. And guess where they got it? Y'all got the history. But today, guess what? I want us to pray. I want everybody to listen. Let's calm down and let's focus. Do y'all realize in a room this size, with human beings, this many good-looking human beings in one room, there's some people here that don't have a relationship with Jesus. There's some people here that are yet to be baptized. My friend, never in my life as a pastor, been in ministry 26 years. I don't know when that happened, but it's happened. Never in my spirit as a gospel minister have I felt as urgent to tell you to take care of spiritual business. Now, I don't know what that means. God wouldn't tell me, even if He wanted to tell me, because He knew I'd mess it up. He'll give that to somebody that doesn't mess that up. Here's my job, is to make sure all of you know in this room, that God cares for you and He loves you and He wants to come in your life. Now, I got to warn you gently, don't oppose it, because there's the severe consequence. And men, I lovingly call you all out because I know how I was. You know, I'm going to do it on my own. You've been like that. You never done that. I mean, you a man. You ever done that? I was going to fix my marriage. That's how dumb I was. Leonard, I was going to tell Elizabeth what to do. You know who fixed our marriage? God Almighty. Amen. So luckily our marriage got fixed before we had kids, and when we started having kids, you know what? Elizabeth and I just decided, God, we can't raise our kids. People ask me all the time, they say, Steve, we kind of like your kids. What did you do? I said, I didn't raise them. They said, you didn't? I said, no, I figured I'd mess them up. I turned them over to God. I said, dear God, help me be the father that I need to be in you. Guys, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I could have told you. Hemming, I wish I could have told you I was a student of Jesus Christ when I was a student, but I didn't, because guess what? I went to class and didn't fully apply myself. You know what that means? I was opposing what God asked me. And I paid some consequences for that later on. Did y'all realize that the greatest witness you can give when you go to school is make the best grades you could possibly make? That's more important than hanging out in some Bible study group for 30 minutes trying to get a hoorah, hoorah going on. If God called you to go to school and then called your parents to pay for it, it's unspiritual to not pass. It's unspiritual. I don't care how many God bumper stickers you got on your car, you just did a very unspiritual thing when you did not apply yourself to advance and impact and influence. Now we'll get it down to where it really applies. See, everybody wants to have a projective faith. I think it's time to have a interactive faith. That it works on the streets. Amen? So all of y'all that are concerned about hungry people, if you believe that, I'd feed one this week. And all y'all that want peace, I'd be peaceful in myself and start there. Amen? And see what God does with that movement. If you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, surely by now you're convinced He would like to have a relationship with you. How many of y'all are that far along? Now, how many of y'all are doing this? How many of y'all are doing this? Lord, if I let Jesus Christ into my life, what's going to happen to me? Well, eventually you're going to end up in heaven. So we got to get the hookup first, right? We got to allow God to connect us to the power. Now, how you ride after that, Woody, a lot of that will be in your decision-making process with God. Make sense? But God would like to have you in motion toward heaven. So I'm going to pray today, and it's not my prayers, but it's just the prayer of this whole church. Is some of you today will come to Christ. Some of you will be baptized today. You know, I mean, not like right now, unless you want to, but I'm talking about you're going to say, you know what? I need to be baptized. I'm going to get that done with. How many of y'all are full of worry all the time? You need to come to this altar and guess what you need to say? God, may I listen to you and do what you say. That'll take some of that anxiety away. Won't take all of it away, but take some of it away. Amen? All right, let's stand together. Y'all been beautiful today. Beautiful folks today. It's good to see everybody. Let me get rid of some of the altar lies. You say, I can't come be saved at this church because I'm not a member of this church. I could care less about membership. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to join Hillview Heights Church. I'm asking you to be saved by an almighty God. I would never cheapen the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ to even minutely comparing it to being the member of an organization. This is your salvation. Church is not God. Jesus is God. Now hear me. Right now, some of you need to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Listen to that, man. Somebody's praying it. Somebody's praying it. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. I believe you're for real. Somebody's praying that. Now, if you pray in that prayer, we want you to come forward. We got some pastors that are going to talk to you. Maybe you've prayed that prayer this week or last week or 6 months ago, and you've never been baptized. Well, today, let's get that right. Take some of that anxiety out. There could be some healing going. I know I had to deal with this couple, both altars. Dear God, forgive me for being so stinking arrogant. I'm arrogant. You know, Elizabeth, I already got things marked on my calendar next week like I absolutely know they're going to happen. You really want me to bring you down to reality? I don't even know if I'm going to be here next week. Oh, don't get me wrong. I hope to return. But I cannot give you that with absolute certainty. So maybe we need to start speaking a little more like we did in the first century. By the grace of God, if we meet again, may God be glorified. So let's embrace this moment. Because I know what that little old roaring lion, the devil's going to do right now. He's going to tell some of you got time to be saved. He's going to tell others of you that you don't worry about baptism. It's not important. Really? Then why did Jesus say do it? And I know how you're going to respond to me. Well, I think. Let me help you. We're off base from the get-go. If you're going to follow Christ, your life is no longer about what you think, but it's about what God has said. Try that. Here's what I'm saying. Try it for 6 months, and if you don't like it, you can quit. You'll never quit. You'll be that different. If you start doing what God said. Some of you, that'll change who you date. You'll quit dating bums. Because your first question won't be, how much money do you have? Your first question will be, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And when they say no, guess what you say? Go. See, this thing gets real in our lives. Come on, if you need to come. People are already coming to the altar, you come. Some of you are going to be healed. Just pray with me. Lord, this altar is going to be released today. Lord, I pray right now for any confusion in anybody's life that it just be lifted. God, I ask your permission for those who are not saved to really hear you clearly. God, I ask for people here who are filled with guilt and shame and doubt that they would come to the altar today, especially if they're followers of Christ, and they'll lay that stuff on the altar because that doesn't belong to your children. That does not belong to your children. Lord, I pray for every person that hadn't been baptized, that they'll square up today, that this is going to be a day that in this service, everybody that hadn't been baptized, that's going to be taken care of today. And then, Lord, we'll ask you to send that many more next week. God, we're not asking for a revival. I'm tired of asking for a revival. God, I'm asking for the reality of Christ to be here. And I probably don't even know what I'm asking for, Jesus. But I'm asking that your presence be so real we can't deny it. So God, I ask that your glory be seen right now. Come on, church. If God's moving you, come on. Watch this. Don't oppose it and see what happens in your life. Just let God flow. You don't have to wait for him to start singing to step forward. You step right now. And I'm telling you right now, God's going to do some great things at this altar if you'll just let it happen. Some of you guys, listen, this ain't a tough decision. It's not about you. It's about Jesus saving you. He's willing to do it. Come on, in the name of Jesus. These altars are open. This baptistry's open. Healing power is available here at this altar. And we're just going to ask you to come and let God minister to you right now. Come on, church. Come on, don't stand there today. Pray for one another and let God's blessing be moved out.